now, Joe. Just finger yourself in front of me.
Jesus, Simon!
Every human being has something of value that they brought to the table, especially Hitler.
You'd like my lip, wouldn't you? Right round your bell end. If Mr. Chippy doesn't get there first, what's he gonna knock up? A closet for you to hide in, you bumder!
Welcome. I've got a hoodie on today.
That's a good hoodie.
Yeah. Pretty good outfit.
Yeah, you look good. I like what you've done with your hair. It's kind of spiked up a bit.
Yeah, I'm a cool cow today.
How's my audio this time?
Yeah, perfect. Tremendous.
Beautiful. It seems that I had the audio turned down on the actual microphone. I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, we're high-tech individuals. It's hard to set the correct pace.
I shouldn't even own a microphone, but I do.
These are the things. This is my one. Oh, wait. I'm a cow. You can't see anything. Oh, dear. How'd you feel about the power rankings from earlier in the week?
I thought they were incredibly accurate. There isn't really much that I would have changed about it. I think people don't understand, because you do like to have a podcast that's quite jocular in nature, that they don't think that you have the analytical prowess to make good judgments about teams and players and all of the technical side of draft. But I think you showed in the last pod that you do know what the fuck you're talking about. And yeah, incredibly accurate. Obviously, my team is far superior. And the best bit about that is you were doing the analysis before the Hines trade, just on the actual drafted teams. Look at me now.
But it's like, I don't think that the other spastics in our league realize players like Eli Katoa and stuff are really good to have in a draft team.
Well, they clearly don't, because he went in the sixth round.
Yeah, and he averaged like 70-something for the last 10 rounds of last year, so he's obviously good.
He's just completely under the radar. And then other second-row forwards that are frothed that are definitely below him. But yeah.
Well, I thought, just
how it goes.
Do you have access on your computer to pull up Supercoach?
Yeah, I do.
Because if I felt like a thing to do might be to pull my team up and we can give it a review, since I didn't do it. I didn't want to have that part of the other one, because I didn't want to just be like, yeah, my team's the best, even though obviously it is. But maybe
we think general consensus, I think your team's somewhere around the middle, probably the low bottom
six. Really like it, but I feel like if you don't like your own team, you've probably got to move on.
Yeah, well, you need at least a sense of false hope.
Yeah.
If you're fucking up the draft. I'm not saying that you fucked up the draft, but I think if you look deep inside, there's things that you would change.
I'm looking at it now and I feel like I've done a pretty good job, but maybe you think different. Have you pulled it up?
I'm getting it up now. I just have to touch it a little bit.
All right, so I was picked.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. Oh, yeah, it's up.
Okay, nice. Penis jokes. Where are you?
It would have been good if you got rid of Ezra Mamm, because
I have Jaden Campbell, but he's not playing till week three.
So Benny Trbojevic,
yeah,
huge buy, huge buy. I don't
about him.
Yeah, I've always liked the kid. I don't see Schuster taking his spot due to how hungry he is, his size, and nepotism.
Yeah, nepotism's huge at Manly. If you have three or four weird consonants back to back at the start of your name, you're probably going to be picked in the team.
They're not going to stop the fairy tale.
Nah. All right, well, let's start at the top. So I was picked 5. And have you got it there?
Yeah, I've just got like your game day team listing. I don't have your draft order here.
If you go into league and go draft recap, that's where it lives.
Okay.
Very interesting podcast so far. I will address the elephant in the room by myself once you've departed. Yeah.
Beautiful. Just a little solo press conference.
Yeah, yeah, I'll do it. I'll have a press conference to address the issues in the draft chat that need to be addressed. But I just feel like you shouldn't have to be part of that part of the podcast.
Yeah, I like that. I don't want to get involved, you know, it doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, you hate getting involved.
Yeah, so I mean, okay, draft recap and then
you...
How's your week though, mate? How are you personally away from the podcast?
I'm going okay. I've made a fair bit of money this week, so that's good, but I'm still on the back end of whatever this fucking weird virus thing I had on the weekend was. So all good. Coming good.
Where has your big cash windfall come from? The mowing business, fight show? You've got so many parts.
I'm starting to sell tickets with a fight show, and then I've got a council contract for like the lawns and gardens and stuff, and then the gym's starting to pick back up again. So they're all sort of on the right trajectory, which is good.
So I'm just looking now. What's your team name?
The NGA FGT RTDs.
Okay. Scott Drinkwater. Scott Drinkwater, obviously a huge buy. Daly Cherry Evans, don't personally like him, but the scores speak for themselves. Karaz. Now that he's got that center spot, though, five games there, averaging over 60 last year. Good buy, I think. Probably a little bit of a reach, but if he does what he can do, that's huge.
Yeah, but you've got to reach for your boy. I was trying to explain that. If I had have left him for one more round and it gets back to pick 40-something, someone has a chance of nabbing him.
Yeah, well, I definitely would say objectively I took Burden probably way too early, Walker probably way too early, but it paid off.
Yeah,
for sure. Having the Rooster guy. You have to go. Otherwise, you take someone else and you're like, oh, fuck. Jumps down. Yeah.
I wish I
reaching.
Took Luai when I took Kola Matangi.
I like Kola Matangi, though. Mam will come good. He's going to have some big games. It's just I think the Broncos went out on the pokies the night before that game.
Probably. They have a habit of that. All right, we're up to Karaz. Who was after that?
Yeah, Coruscant, pretty huge buy at four, actually. I think that's good value. The only issue is that he's not going to be playing in our league grand final, but based on your performance in the past few years, that won't be an issue for you. So probably a solid buy for someone like you. Sean Lane, I think people are frothing Sean too hard, but like fifth pick, I think that's an overreach for Sean, but based on what everyone believes, it's good value. I think Koala at six is fine. Mam at seventh. That was probably your last chance to get a semi-reasonable 5'8".
Yeah, so well, I picked him because Declan took Luai, I think, the pick beforehand, which is who I actually wanted. But it worked out. As we go later on the draft, it worked out fine.
Tomoko, good play, good average. I don't like Raiders.
Nah,
but
he's probably the one.
Eighth round, that's probably a little bit of a good value buy. Firma, probably a bit of a reach there.
Reach it 101, you reckon?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting perspective.
Where do you think you should go?
I think he's probably in the top 10 to RFs by the end of the year.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
I think probably the big dogs stay ahead of him, like Fifita, Ola, Hopgood, and the guys around that area. But I think he's probably in the next tier under them.
Maybe. I put him way below.
That's fine.
I would even put him below like a Sua or an Elliot.
I'd put Sua real low down, but under him because they probably have the same base, but Firma scores points.
I use Sua to demonstrate how low I put Bo Firma. And also I felt like I was being too nice to you, so I wanted to just like really crush you for one. Talakai is a dud now. he had the big rush because he was a bin guy, and then he went.
Oh yeah, when chaos he smashed mode. Up Morgan Harper, but that's not why I picked him. I picked him because he has the most line break assists and try assists out of any player in the NRL that's not a half.
I think, like, if you look at a team like mine, even at this level, the 8th, 9th, 10th rounds, I'm getting, like, value guys that probably should have been gone in the 6th, 7th rounds.
Who did it you looks get, like, then? I don't want to – I've got to – I don't – we're just analyzing my team. I'm not gonna do it.
No, I'm just giving you a comparison of what's possible in draft.
Oh, what's possible? Oh yeah.
Compared to what you've done, like you're picking guys probably where they should be instead of hunting for like the value that's being missed. That's what puts me so high above everyone else is I'm hunting the value that's missed the whole time. But this isn't about me. I didn't come on just talking about how good.
It feels like you may have.
Massive waste of a pick there.
Nah, he's an option for when Appy's out.
Yeah, but like, there's probably going to be other guys that appear. They fuck around with their minutes so much. I wouldn't.
80-minute hooker unless he does his hamstring, which he may have already done this year.
Isn't there a bench hooker?
No, it was meant to be Flano, but then that guy that came from the Warriors, Volkman, got sent back, so now Flano's playing in the halves.
Ah, okay. Well, really good pick at 11. Moving on to Jaden Campbell, I think, is huge value. I think that he's gone real late there. That's
and he'll be good because I've got a 5'8" and a fullback, I think, missing like alternate finals weeks.
Yeah, very scarce position. Quite a good pickup. Benny Turbo, 13, good. Lukey, I think, is massive at the 14th pick.
Yeah, I think
Samuel Hughes, giant dud, should be dropped. Can't believe we still have him. Leo Thompson, yeah, he's all right. I mean, and
this is just where you should pick your props, that's all.
I don't agree. I think that you need to have an anchor prop that should be going in the first 8 rounds, and then you come back.
Leo Thompson will be a fine anchor prop to give me 45 to 55 points every week. And Sam Hughes will stay there to see what he does this week, and then I'll just pick whatever best props on the waivers.
Why didn't you waiver for Nass?
Well, I'm giving my whole team a chance from draft at.
Yeah, okay.
And then I drafted them for some reason, so they will all get a chance to prove themselves on the pitch. And then if they don't, they might be on the chopping block as of Wednesday morning.
So this year for you is more of like a symbolic year as opposed to like trying to win.
No, I will be undefeated for many weeks, at least two. I've only got Mitch and Doug first 2 weeks. So I'll win those two rounds and then we'll work from there.
Mitchell's team is putrid and you're at risk of losing.
I'm hardly at risk of losing. I went from – you were always talking about how, your team's only projected this much. I was projected to lose by 300 points, and now I'm already projected to win.
With a score of 632.
Yeah, but, like, projections always, that will change.
Why is your projection so shit? Do you think it's the quality of – players because you were picking players like at the last possible time that they should be picked instead of getting more value? No, it's because
the new players that are coming in that I nailed, like Ben Trbojevic, were projected at 18 and then scored 72. So my projected will start the week low and end the week high, which is the opposite of what your projection will do.
That's very possible. My boys have to do really well to keep up all of their projections, but... they are a good team. Yeah.
So, out of an A to D minus minus, how would you rank that that draft team?
You only really have drink water. Like, you've got a few then mid-tier sort of guns that you don't have, like, multiple anchors like someone like me has. I'd probably put you being nice because you've had me on the podcast a C minus.
B minus.
Yeah.
Me and Jimmy are about the same team structure.
Well, I didn't do Jimmy's ranking. You did.
Oh, okay. So you would have given him an F.
I think his draft was very, very terrible, but he's done some pretty reasonable rebuilding now, and his team's like, he could scrape the top eight, even though you need to scrape the top six. But yeah, like, you've got to be fair. You've got some troubles in this team. It's not a
where would you say is a trouble that you would need to fix right now?
Well, can I look at you? I need to look at your starting
team. You can't say prop because I'll fix that off out of the bin at some point.
You definitely need to fix your props. I'll start right there. You're playing, you have to play little, so that's fixable. I don't really like playing Talakai. I think he's going to have a really bad year.
I hope he has a bad year and gets hooked from the team.
To be fair, I think that there's other teams with more questionable players than you have, actually. Like, Phil has a few giant holes that you wouldn't want to be playing. So, yeah, I'll give you just a flat C then.
So, by you not being able to find other than props anywhere I need to fix, I'm getting a C. Noted.
It just, well, you look at it and it's just like, yeah, like, meh. That's not bad, but it's like you don't look at it and get inspired by it at all. Like, it doesn't like leap out as a lethal team. It potentially can get you into the top six, but there's some other really, really strong teams this year. So
which teams do you think are stronger than this team?
Mine, Steve's, Richard's.
You think Richard's Jake's is stronger? I guess Richard has Cleary. That doesn't matter in captain.
I think actually Tommy Sandrill's team is arguably better than yours.
Whose team?
Tommy Sandrill's.
That's just a lie. Why would you say that? He doesn't need any extra encouraging. We have to bring him down.
Well, he's got Garrick, Ponga, Hopgood.
Yeah, his three first picks were pretty good. I said that in the podcast. Then he sort of...
Yeah, I'm not debating your analysis.
Diarrhea's all over a kitchen table after that.
He shouldn't have brought in Dylan Walker or Jolliffe. And he definitely shouldn't have
questionable decisions at this point. I think he doesn't realize he can't get him back. Like, once you drop him, someone will nab him, and then you can't just go pick him back up again.
Yeah, and then Phil gets a nice little level up for free because of his ignorance.
All right, let's have a look. Hold on, that's fine. I'm just going to say you moved me up to a C. I'm mid-tier is what you're saying.
I think so. I think you belong right in the middle, possibly on the lower half of the middle, but you're not in the top four. I think
I'm on the lower half of the middle, but there's no holes in my team, as you've discussed earlier.
But there's nothing inspiring either. So that's important. Like, you haven't fucked up the draft at all, but you're taking everyone at the last possible time that they should be taken. You haven't got many like big value buyers, maybe one or two. And you've overreached 13 at some point.
Pretty good value.
Yeah, that's huge. It's not going to win you the season, though, is it? You need to be doing it the whole way along. Like, look at someone like me.
Your argument is just look at how much better I am. And all right, that's a good bloody. Have you got mine up there still? Are you there? Have I lost you? Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, there we go. I'm going to pull up yours and let's do a back-to-back comparison of how we drafted. Like,
okay. Yeah, that's exciting.
Are you the Stingers?
Yeah, 12-finger Stingers.
You're back. All right, you there?
Yeah.
All right, I don't know what happened. Everything disconnected and then reconnected. All right, where are we? All right. So do you want to read your... I'll read yours out first and then you read out mine.
Why don't we just go one for one and like analyze each pick?
No, no, that's what I'm saying. I'm going to read your first pick, then you read my first pick.
Okay.
And then we'll go, all right, how does that work? All right, so you took Harry Grant.
And you took Scott Drinkwater.
And I feel like these are probably who we would have both taken if we had a different, if we had the other person's order in the draft.
Yeah, they were just sensible. If you played before, you would take those, not like a Gutho or a Dylan Edwards in the first round.
Yeah. So second, you took Teddy.
And you took Daly Cherry Evans.
So you needed a fullback, and that's a pretty good spot to pick up Teddy, really. And I am always going to try to fill out my spine, and DC was the only decent spine player left, I think.
Yeah, so we've both gone a bit below what you would really want talent-wise that early, but because everyone kind of knows what they're doing and we prioritize spine, I think we got the best options, and it's going to give us flexibility and protection later on. So I wouldn't really change either of those at that
point. I didn't realize that you were giving me shit about Karaz and your third pick is Burton.
Well, I mentioned that earlier in the podcast. Yeah, you want to fucking clean your ears out and
no, you said you reached for Burton. You didn't say you picked him at three.
Well, that's a reach.
That's a huge reach.
Well, if you put him purely in...
That's at an all-you-can-suck buffet type reach.
Well, I think if you put him in 5'8 tiers, and I knew how heavy 5'8 drop was coming, I'm like, I don't want to do this, but if I don't do this now, I'm going to be one of the people that are fucked with like a mam or...
All right, so I've got your Burton. I can at least appreciate that, like, you're trying to fill in a weak position. Like, the 5'8 drops off like a motherfucker right after that. So I think that's probably a reach, but, like, you can justify the movement.
Well, I think Burton is in the second tier of options as far as 5'8. If you're looking at halfback, maybe he's third or even fourth tier. But for 5'8... knowing that there was going to be more halfback options come back around, I was like, I've got to get the 5'8 here. I already had the hooker.
I think Burton's tier of 5'8 is the same as Luai and Jaden Campbell.
Yeah, I don't agree. I think they're massively different.
He's averaging the same as them and also goal kicking. So I feel like he might even be a step under them.
Yeah, I don't agree. And we'll... In two months, I reckon we can come back and you can apologize.
Well, that's fair. I took Karaz. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, not a giant reach, but he probably shouldn't have gone before the fourth round. There are a few guys that like Karaz, so maybe you had to do it. But who else was around at that time? There would have been some.
Oh, there were some guys, but it was. I went into the draft being like, I am getting Karaz. Like, if I had have come out of it and not had him, I would have had the shits.
Yeah, fair enough. Well, like, given that he got the center spot.
Yeah, I think he'll average over 60 easy.
Yeah. So that's fine. And I think, like, after the, like, third, fourth round, there's guys that you think you should 100% take, but, like, anything can happen with those guys. They're not like the guaranteed breadwinners. So, yeah, it's all right.
All right. Fourth, you took Sammy Walker. I like that you did your spine from top to bottom first four. I think that's how it's meant to go down if you're playing seriously.
I did a lot of mocks this year, and every time that I didn't prioritize the spine, there was a guy that I would take somewhere else, and then I'd be like, he's not that much better than the guys that are left a bit later if you just prioritize spine, because other people don't. And then they come back around for the scummy spine players. And then there's value left at second row forward, CTW. From that point onwards, then you just take whoever's the best available.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I was like,
what's his name? Richard, even though he's got Cleary, he fucked his spine completely by fucking him from picks two to picks five or whatever. By going like CTWs or some shit.
CTW is volatile as well. You can jag someone pretty cheap that goes well, or you can get a good guy that like fucks you and you lose a few games because of him.
There's only like four or five CTWs that have enough base that you can draft them on their previous year's average.
Like, yeah, and you
can draft Toto and Tago and Marzu because you know they're going to score 50 in base anyway. But
yeah,
picking fucking Azarko, who could literally score an average of under 50 this year, taking him second or third, that's fucking insane.
Well, exactly. Has he forgotten 2 years ago?
Yes.
Azarko's brain could fuck him at any time. Great player physically. But yeah, if you don't prioritize the spine, you end up seeing some really low scores, and then you look to wreck your whole team to try and fix it.
excuse me. Who did I take it for?
Appy Korosev.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Goal-kicking hooker. Either that's the shittest or 5-8's the shittest position, and he's top five. That's fine.
Yeah, there was going to be a big drop-off there. That's good value. He could be top three of the hookers.
Yeah, probably. So I'm actually I'm happy to have Appy. It's funny because I don't like his name on my team sheet because there's a little tiger next to it, but I actually quite like watching Appy play.
Well, like I would much rather have Appy over Wade Egan.
Yeah, for sure.
Possibly even Cook this year.
I would still trade Appy for Cook, but only because same reason that I want to get Lua, just because I like Cook.
Yeah. All right. Fifth pick. Up
Hammer at CTW.
Massive buy there. That is.
That's probably your biggest reach in the draft, I reckon.
No way. At fifth round. No.
Yeah. He's a 70 averaging player or anything.
I think he will be this year.
I'm not saying he'll be a bad pick by the end of the year, but I'm saying that you obviously like him and you went as your first CTW where there would have been plenty of other options still on the board.
I think that after like Guffo and Garrick and those guys who are dual fullback, he's the next guy in fullback talent. So really I was getting a good CTW, reasonable, high reasonable, but also like a decent fullback guy that you're happy to have play at fullback. And you don't really, like if you lose your fullback, you don't really have to tear shit apart to get a new one. You're okay with Hammer there. That was my thinking, and I think I'm 100% right.
I think our league probably doesn't value dual players enough.
No. Yeah.
This is my favorite pick of you. Oh, sorry. Who did I pick at five?
Sean Lane.
Yeah, that was probably a reach, but I'm pretty confident that he scores 60 plus.
I think you got caught up in the head noise of everyone thinks that's where you should have taken him. His ADP probably was around there. I personally think it's a reach, but everyone agrees with you. So
Brown plays well. He's going to be fine. Like, even if he only played half, he'd probably score 50.
Like, would you rather Lane over Maddo?
I think probably the same. The reason I like Lane is I like the orange the green button more than the orange button.
Yeah. Yes.
But I like Maddo, but I think Lane being out there for 80 minutes on the attacking edge, I feel like he can be a player that sometimes will hit close or over to 100, where I don't know if Maddo is going to do the same thing in the middle.
Yeah. Yeah, fair enough.
But I think they're both round. Because you took Maddo next pick, hey? Oh, no, you took who I think is your best pick of this draft, where you took Eli Katoa next pick.
Yeah, that was huge.
Yeah. I don't think anybody understands how good he actually is, because I feel like he started the year a bit slow last year or something.
He still had a massive year. Like, he's only like a bit below Hopgood tier. That's how I see him. Obviously, you'd take Hopgood, but like getting Katoa in the sixth round, fucking happy with that. I think that's going to be a big difference for the 12 finger Stingers.
Yeah, I like him. Who did I have at six?
You got Koloa Matangi.
Oh, yeah, probably in that same sort of ilk, I guess.
He's below Katoa, in my opinion. Think
so? I'd say, in your opinion, that's fine, but I'd say if you took the, a scope of people voting, I'd say they come very close. Koloa might be ahead just because of name value. I don't think I don't think he's far ahead, but I think most people would think he is.
What number did Katoa go?
62.
See, okay, so I took Katoa, you took Kaloa at 68. Would you have taken Katoa over Kaloa if you had the opportunity?
Well, I did have the opportunity. Oh, no, I didn't. He went at 62. I don't know.
I think that's why your team is at most a C, because you're pretty much a sheep just following the crowd. You did it with Sean Lane.
I took Karaz at 3, you motherfucker.
Yeah, like you. Yeah, well, you're bipolar then. You have. You have shades of both. Anyway, let's move on.
So number 7. Mano after that, which I think is like really good. I think going Katoa and Tomato is a really good 2RF back to back.
Yeah, and obviously I was neglecting CTWs, but if my memory serves me correct, the drop, there was a big burst of CTWs at that point, and then I would be going down in the lower tiers to get them there. So I was like, there's high-value second-row forwards here. I didn't want to go second row as that early, but they were there, right? So that's what I did. You took Ezra Mam here.
Yeah, I think I just needed the 5'8", because they were all... Anyone that was half decent was gone, and I just had to get somebody. And I feel like Ezra at least scores tries and stuff.
Yeah, you would love a Luke.
I actually prefer the other 5'8" that I picked up later on. That's who I'll be playing when they come back. I'll play him.
Yeah, I prefer Jaden as well. But Mam had a bad game and came off as a bit of a wanker, which we won't talk about.
Yeah, because he's a little fucking faggot. But anyway.
We don't want to get cancelled, but...
Then you took Mofo. You took a prop at round 8, which is not too cowardly, but I actually like Mofo. It's a good pick. What did I pick?
You took Tomoko, but Mofo, that's huge value for Mofo, I think. Round 8, like,
yeah, I think
his
so.
Consistency at a shit position.
Massive. I actually really like him. Like, as a prop, he's probably in my top 3 favorite options.
Yeah, I agree. He's definitely in the top 5 props.
You reckon?
Yeah, well, who else is there? Like, you drop down to like a Max King or a Paseka after that. You got Tino, Haas, Tapane, or probably AFB as well. But then surely Mofo's after
that. Yeah, Mofo's definitely in that tier under that, I would say.
So you've gone to Moko.
Yeah, so that's... I've gone to high base CTWs. So I've got Tomoko and Karaz in my team at that point. I think that's fine. I don't think it's anything special. I think it's just a good pick.
Yeah, I think that's a reasonable pick. But that, like, I hate to sound like a broken record, but that's the thing that epitomizes your whole team is it's like, you probably should have taken him around then. That's your team. Like, yeah, it's good. Yeah, that's the right time to take him. Whereas with my
exactly
team,
what you seeing... want to have happen.
No.
You want to be like, yeah, that's when you should take it. That's exactly what you
want. With my team, though, we're seeing guys like, oh, holy shit, like that's huge value at that. We're seeing more of that.
We saw that
value
at Ellie Cattell and nowhere else.
Maddo, Mofo, Hammer.
I'm not giving you Hammer.
But yeah, like
I think they're very good picks. I think you picked them where you should have picked them. As you said, that's my issues. Maybe that's actually your issue and you're projecting.
I think I'm getting my...
This is the only CTW of yours that would make it anywhere near my team, which is Phil Semi.
Yeah, my CTWs were a bit neglected.
Yeah, I'd say if I had slowed down on my analysis, the fact that your CTWs are this bad would have really played into it.
I was pretty glad that you were like over it because you'd done everyone and you just didn't
I read your spine and I was like, best team.
Yeah, my CTWs are pretty putrid, but you just never know what you like. Simonson, AKP, they're going to have big games, and that's all I need is them to come through for a few clutch wins and the other guys just to do their thing, even it out. So it should be okay. But you had Bo Firma at that point. So
yeah, that's a way better pick than Phil Savage. And actually, I would say that that is as big value as I got on any of your last three guys.
Well, I don't agree. I think, once again, you took Fermer where you were supposed to take him. Is he like a more appealing pick to Sammy? Probably. It's arguable.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate that.
All right. On to 10. Should we move this on a bit?
Yeah, we're, I think we've got like 3 minutes left of the time, I think.
Okay.
All right. How about you go from 10 to... I'll do your 10 to 17, and then you do my 10 to 17. All right, you took Josh King, Sione Katoa, Bailey Simonson, Blake Laurie, AKP, Drew Hutchison, Chevy Stewart, Vic Radley. Josh King's not a bad pick. Blake Laurie's fine. Drew Hutchison is your second best pick of the draft after Katoa, I think. The rest of them
are fucking massive. Pick. Obviously, I had to take the gamble. A lot of the experts were saying Sexton was going to get the role, but I am an interview man. I watch interviews with players I'm interested in, and I go on the feel of that, and I loved the passion that he was bringing to it. He's lost a bit of fat. He's fucking hungry, and he was talking about how he just really wants to be a one-player guy. He's sick of being shopped around to different positions and he wants to get stuck in. So having that opportunity of winning the halfback role means a lot to him. He's going to try and hold it, and that translates to fantasy points.
Fair enough. All right, who am I?
I just fucking went on the most passionate spiel. Nothing. Right. Okay, so you from 10, Talakai, Little, Campbell, Benny Turbo, Lukey, Hughes, Leo Thompson, KL Iro, Talakai, Super Mare, Little, Super Mare, Jaden Campbell, huge buy at that point, massive value, definitely one of your top picks. Same for Benny Turbo, like probably where you should have taken him, but we've seen a game now. It was a great buy. I also think Lukey's a massive buy. I think people like Richard are super retarded saying that he's shit and he's not going to do well. Like, he had an injury. He would have been the guy before Nana was the guy. He is going to thrive. Hughes, especially with Lucy gone as well, like he has the room to thrive.
Yeah.
Hughes, like it probably was a fine buy at the time, but hasn't been named. See how he goes. Meh, like it's 15th pick. So
yeah.
Leo Thompson, probably good value for that pick, but also like super unappealing. Like it, once again, it's your whole team, right? Like you look at it and you're like, yeah. Like,
fuck you.
For that time, like, yeah. And then Iro.
I really want Talakai to get hooked so then I can play Iro because I feel like he's going to be a weapon.
Well, I think that's possible. And yeah, maybe having the investment of both smart. Like Talakai, his flame has burnt. He's at the end of his wick.
If he can get me a 50-something average, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah. People kind of sussed him out, though, and he, like, lost his special talent.
Yeah, well, just his special talent to rinse Morgan Harper in that one game. All right, the time is about to go. Thanks, man. I appreciate your help. We did like I think 45 minutes. That's like a
shit. How are you going to do your press conference? Are you going to re-record?
I'm going to download the audio off this and then I'll do it on my phone.
Yeah, nice. I like that you're adding in a bit of actual Super Coach content.
Well, that's what it was originally, but I just talked too much shit, so it's a problem I have.
Good session, mate. Take care of yourself. I'll talk to you soon.
Don't forget to send my turtle totem.
Will do. Bye, listeners.
All right. This is... Tim's gone. Yeah, I've had to call a press conference with myself about the group chat. The group chat in our league sometimes gets a bit away from us. There's situations where people's mothers have been found on Facebook. There's been memes made about them, about dating other members of the league. There's been jokes about literal love triangles in the league. There's been jokes about rooting mates' friends that are in the league.
It's like a pretty degenerate atmosphere, right? But what we discovered was that the line for people seems to be, and by people, I mean Richard Dicklin. Don't need to use his real name. Dicklin's line in it is the respect he has for his father. There's a common joke where you tell someone that they're a coward, just like their father. Well, Dicklin was trying to rape me in a trade for Jerome Luai. So I wrote to him, "You're a rapist, just like your father." He did not receive this well. I don't know if there's more to the story or he just thought the joke went too far. And I understand. I love and respect my father as well. My father came from poverty and built him into something. I've been on his next to his hospital bed when he went through a severe illness called encephalitis. He went blind for a time. Most people die within a very short time of getting an episode of this particular illness. He survived because he's a human weapon. Produced one and one that pretends to be that can only bench 110 kilos with 12 months of practice. But what I want to say is to Dicklin Senior, the father of Dicklin, I'd just like to make an apology. An apology for having such a gay son! What
a faggot! Paging Dr.
Faggot! Get your hand off my penis!
I am going to savage you this week.
I am going to take each one of your pre-existing holes and fill it with my seed.
I want to see, I want to see.
Oh, no, honey. Daddy's doing adult talk.
And then invite my infant son in to go potty inside of you like you're a rest stop bathroom.
Welcome to Hurtful Banter and Smooth Brain Bets, you absolute scotch finger.